Well, dear saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you hear that from Luke chapter 18, verse 1? And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Do you get it? Always do what? Pray and never do what? You got it. Sermon over. Nice job. You just do that and you're good, right? But hold on. Sometimes that's kind of hard, isn't it? Does anybody feel like that's ever hard? To always pray and never lose heart? What makes it so hard? Life. Yeah. Right? Boy, there's a whole vast array of things that make that hard to do, to always pray and never lose heart. It could be things like marriage or family situations that are difficult and frustrate you, right? It could be just politics and the world around you that aren't going the way that they maybe should go, right? Maybe it's chronic pain or illness that you have to deal with and suffer through. Maybe it's wanting kids and not being able to have them, or wanting a family and not being able to have a family, or maybe it's missing family that is now gone, and it's the grief that comes with any of those situations. Maybe it's frustration and struggles at work. Maybe it's finances that don't look the way that they ought to look. This is one of those points in the sermon where it's fill in the blank and you can fill it in with whatever you're dealing with, right? Struggles at school or with friends. There's a whole lot of situations in the world that make you want to lose heart. That maybe you've been praying through every single day, every single moment. You've been praying hard and you've been praying to the point of blood, sweat, and tears. And you're still praying? And it makes you want to lose heart. And that's why Jesus gives us this parable. So that we would not stop praying. And that we would not lose heart. Because if we stop praying, you know what that means? When you stop praying, it's a disbelief that God is listening. And maybe even worse, a disbelief that God cares about what you're praying about. And so what Jesus is teaching us this morning is to have a faith, but not a flimsy kind of faith, a stubborn kind of faith, a tough kind of faith, a rugged kind of faith, a faith that wrestles. And we get two wrestling matches to observe this morning. So wrestling match number one, and you know that wrestling ding ding that starts up, you know, play that in your head right now. Ding ding ding, right? Wrestling match number one is that widow versus the judge. Right? And you heard that story in our gospel reading. Let me read it for you right here. Luke chapter 18, verses 2 through 5. It says, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. Right? Is this a nice stand-up guy? No. He doesn't care about God or morality, and he doesn't respect man. So he's not afraid to be embarrassed. He has no shame. Right? He won't even do things to be popular with other people. And yet, this is a guy who's got all the authority, all the power. He holds all the cards, and somebody who is his opposite comes to him. This poor, second-class citizen widow. How do you think this wrestling match is going to go down? This widow keeps on coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. What kind of motivation does this judge have to answer her request? Zip, zilch, nada, right? And so for a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, that's a good reminder of who this person is, right? Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And who wins the wrestling match? The widow. Why? Because this widow is a picture of faith. A faith that wrestles. What this widow had faith in was justice. And she also had faith in the judge's power to do something. And she also had faith that he would eventually give in. That he would eventually be annoyed enough to favor her and rule in her favor. The widow's faith is a faith that wrestles. And maybe this is a picture for us and the kind of faith that we can copy from the widow. The widow's faith is a faith that wrestles armed with God's word. That is armed with God's word against the world and against despair. And this is what I might like to call a faith believed. All right? A faith that is believed. And so we might think of like today for us, like the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. The faith that you and I believe, the shared faith, is what God tells us about himself. It's like the content of our faith, right? And so this faith that is believed leads to a faith that can wrestle with the challenges that come to you from the world and maybe from your own conscience and despair. So when the world says it's going to ignore you and not rule in your favor, or when your own conscience or your own heart begins to despair and say, well, nothing's going to go right, nobody's going to take care of me, you remember, wait. The faith that I believe says that there is a God who does care about me, a God who does rule in my favor, right? And what does Jesus want us to take away from this widow? Jesus says, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God, as compared to the unrighteous judge, will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? And the answer to that question is, well, of course he will, right? Will he delay long over them? And the answer to that question was, well, no, of course not. He's God. We know who our God is, and we know his promises to us. See, if somebody were to come to you and ask you what you believe about God, what would you say to them? If they were to come to you and ask you, well, what does your God promise you? What would you say to them? Especially if that person was coming to you and they were discouraged about the world. And they said, I need something to believe in. I need to believe in a God who loves me and cares about me and will provide for me. What would you say to them about your God? I think it would go something like this. That you have a God who made you. That you have a God who wants good things for you. That you have a God who not only wants those good things for you, but that can provide those good things for you. You have a God whose love for you is unconditional. He demands nothing of you to show you that love. He requires nothing of you to show you that kind of love. In fact, you've got a God who forgives you. And you've got a God who even sent his own son to die for you and to rise again for you so that you also might rise from the dead and so that death itself even has no power over you. You've got a God who promises you eternity. So why would that God not take care of you now? That's the content of our Christian faith. That is the faith believed. That's the faith that we believe in. And that's the picture of faith that this widow gives us. And that's the faith that wrestles. Whenever discouragement or struggle or darkness is in the world and it is against us, we go back to what our faith is and we believe that faith despite anything that we experience or anything that comes our way in the world. See, the lesson that Jesus wants you to learn from the wrestling match between the widow and the judge is this. It's not that you have to annoy God with your prayers until he finally gives in. Now, he does want you to pray over and over and over, right? But God is better than the unrighteous judge, right? You've got a God who actually loves you and cares about you and has the power to rule in your favor. And that is why we pray. Because if even the unrighteous judge would give in, how much more would God listen to your prayers and answer them? And so we use our shared faith, what we know about God and what he promises us, we use our shared faith to wrestle against the world and to wrestle against our struggles, to live and pray according to our faith that we know. What we know about God, we use in our lives. That is a faith that is rugged, a faith that is durable, a faith that is tough, a faith that wrestles. I said this morning that we have not just one wrestling match, we have two, right? And so we've got this wrestling match of Jacob versus God himself. Can I get a ding, 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 right? And you heard the story in the Genesis reading this morning. You get Jacob who is alone at night and he's jumped, right? Probably some of our worst fears, right? He's jumped by this guy and instantly they are in a wrestling match all night long until morning. Now, here's the surprising part. The stranger is losing. Jacob is winning the wrestling match. And because Jacob is winning the wrestling match, what does the stranger do? Touches his hip and it goes out of joint, right? And for the rest of his life, Jacob will walk with a limp. But there's another surprising thing, right? Jacob begins to realize who this stranger is that he's wrestling. And so Jacob gets him in a headlock. He's got this man in his grip. And what does he say to the man? I won't let you go until you bless me. What a strange thing to say to a guy that you're fighting all night long, right? But he knows who this man is. Genesis 32, verses 27, 28. And this man, this stranger, said to Jacob, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And then the stranger said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with who? God. And with men. And have prevailed. Ooh. Jacob was wrestling God. Now, here's some interesting things that we observe when we watch this wrestling match between Jacob and God. First is that he was wrestling God, right? And if you want to get technical, this is the God who shows up in something like a human form, right? This is the second person of the Trinity. This is Jesus before Christmas. Because Jesus existed before Christmas, right? Forever, because he's God, right? And so before he became a baby, he came in the form of a man and wrestled Jacob. And by the way, as a little bit of a rabbit hole, Jesus does this all throughout the Old Testament. He shows up as the angel of the Lord in these very interesting and important places. But besides that, we'll get out of the rabbit hole. This is Jesus wrestling Jacob. And not only that, but was it ever a fair fight? No, right? This is the Lord Almighty, right? Jacob had no chance. And so why is Jacob winning the wrestling match? Because the Lord lets him. And maybe that's another surprising thing. is that the Lord decides to lose to Jacob. I think that's kind of a foreshadow of Jesus, isn't it? That's kind of Jesus doing what Jesus does. He comes in power and might, and yet he loses on purpose in order to bless us. That's what he does on the cross. What did Jesus say? At any point during his passion, he said, at any point I could call down a legion of angels and fix this problem like that. And yet he decides to lose. He decides to die for us, to bless us. That's what Jesus does. And if that's true, if that's Jesus and he loses for us, then Jacob gives us another picture of a tough, rough faith that wrestles. Because Jacob wrestles by gripping the Word. In this case, the Word made flesh, but Jacob wrestles by gripping the Word and holding God to his Word. And I might call this a faith that believes. So if the widow's faith is a faith that is believed, the content of our faith, then Jacob's picture of faith is a faith that believes. It's not just what we believe, but it's how we believe. It's how we live that out. It's how we struggle with the faith that is given to us. When we hold God to his promises. And so God is the one that we wrestle with. Not because he's our enemy, but because he wants us to wrestle using his words against him. Isn't that kind of weird? But this is important. Because there are times in your life when you're going to feel like wrestling God, are there not? There are times in your life where there's struggle. There's times in your life that feel dark. There's times in your life where God seems kind of mysterious and you don't really know why he's doing what he's doing. There's going to be times in your life when you don't know what he's up to and you remember the faith that is believed and you say, well, God, aren't you a God who loves? Aren't you a God who cares? Aren't you a God who could fix this problem like that? And so that's when you pull out this kind of faith, a faith that believes, a faith that wrestles, a faith that is tough. And you say, God, I don't know what you're up to right now, and if I were you, I'd be doing things quite differently, right? And yet you say, you know what? I still believe what you said. In fact, I'm going to hold you to your promise. You said you're a God who loves me, and you said that you're a God who cares about me, and you are a God who is powerful enough to do something about it, so I'm holding you to your word. Ooh, can you talk to God like that? He wants you to. He wants you, like Jacob, to grip the word, to pin it down, and in prayer, give God's word back to him. Lord, you promised. Have you ever had kids? And they said to you, you promised. It's like they got you in their grip and you say, fine, all right? Your Father in heaven wants to hear the same. Father, you promised. He wants to see that kind of faith. And that faith is lived out through prayer. It's a faith that refuses to let go of God until he blesses. To hold God to his promises. And it's not because we are stronger than God. It's not because you have to annoy God for him to finally give in and finally give you what he promised. But you hold God to his word because you know that he is faithful. That he is the one that comes down and he is the one that loses in your favor. That's the kind of faith that Jesus wants to see. A tenacious, audacious kind of faith that believes God's word. And you wrestle God with his word. And that doesn't mean that you're always going to get what you think that you need. Because we also know that God knows better. And God has not promised toys and chocolate bars and that things are always going to go well in this life, but he has promised to provide what you need and beyond that, to even provide for eternity. That's what he promises. Luke chapter 18, verse 8, Jesus says, after he tells this parable of the widow and the judge, he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Friends, here's the good news. One day Jesus will come back. I was expecting cheering, but that's okay. One day Jesus will come back. Woo! And he will answer every single prayer. And he will bless beyond what you could have ever prayed for. That's the good news. And you know what Jesus wants to find when he comes back to bless beyond what you could have imagined? Faith. Faith that's wrestling. Faith that is tough. Faith that is stubborn. He wants to find faith that studies his word, faith that does not cease in prayer, faith that is holding him to his promises. That's the faith that he wants to see when he comes back. So, dear saints of God, wrestle. Have that kind of a faith. You know his promises. You know his word. You know what he said. So do not lose heart. Do not lose heart in this world. Do not lose heart in him who comes down and loses for you. Do not lose heart in the life of the world to come, because all things will be made right when Jesus comes back. So in his name, amen.